Welcome to A Word Fitly Spoken, a podcast about Jesus, His Word, and our joy in following Him. I'm Amy Spreeman.
And I'm Michelle Leslie. We are getting a lot of great feedback from the first episode in our series, Discerning the False Teachers. That first one was about Joyce Meyer and the false doctrine that she teaches. So if you haven't already, go ahead and go back and give that episode a listen. Because remember, Joyce Meyer isn't the only one who teaches these false doctrines. We'll probably be reminding you of that with all of these episodes, that there are multiple teachers who teach these false doctrines that we're going to be going over. And, you know, some of them, Amy and I may not ever have heard of. You know, maybe there's a mega church pastor near you, or hopefully not, but maybe even your own pastor or Sunday school teacher or women's Bible study teacher teaches these things too. So be sure to watch out for that with every teacher that you encounter.
That's right. You know, discernment is not just, you know, us giving you a list of names and saying, you know, avoid all the people on this list and you're going to be just fine. Because false teachers, really, like you said, Michelle, they're everywhere. So we're going to be examining several of them over the course of this series to demonstrate to you that you should not only avoid the particular teacher we're examining, but anyone who teaches the same false doctrines or behaves in the same sinful ways.
That's right. We also want to remind you again that we're not warning against these false teachers because we're mean and hateful, and we're not attacking them. We're not slandering them. We're not leveling personal insults against them. We're not calling them names. Just keep in mind, just very gently and lovingly, just because you may not like what we say doesn't mean we're sinning or being unbiblical. We're warning against these people because we love Christ, we love the church, we love you, and we're concerned about your spiritual health, and also because it's biblical to do so. Jesus warned against false teachers, Paul warned against false teachers, Peter, Jude, every book in the New Testament except Philemon, and a lot of books in the Old Testament warn against false teachers and false doctrine. It is a major theme of the Bible.
It sure is. And so tonight we are going to be examining someone who unfortunately is near and dear to the hearts of many evangelical women. And her name is Beth Moore. You probably know that name because she is easily the world's best known women's Bible study author and teacher in the world, and certainly the most famous Southern Baptist in the world. You know, she's been teaching since 1985, or about 40 years, and has published a study nearly each of those years. So she's charming. We know that. She's energetic. She's beautiful. She's a great storyteller. And all of those traits have enabled her to draw in millions of followers. Now, I know that many of you have been or are in churches where her teachings are a huge part of your women's ministry. You know, I've been in those churches too. You know, in the 40 years of ministry that she's had, Beth has written dozens of books, and she also gives numerous Living Proof Live conferences every year, and a radio show and a television show on TBN, both called Living Proof with Beth Moore. Now, as lovable and as likable as she is, it would be so much better and more pleasant for us to be a Beth Moore fangirl than to have to warn against her as a false teacher. And by the way, when you do that, she is defended fiercely by her loyal followers, so it's not easy to speak up. But as Christians, no matter how much we love a certain teacher, our highest love and loyalty must always be to Christ and His Word first, which means we must reject anything, even a beloved teacher, that is at odds with him and with scriptures. So as we've said before on this program many times, when discerning a teacher or author or preacher, we need to look at the fruit. The Bible tells us that. But what does that mean? Well, examining the fruit of a teacher or a speaker or an author or whomever is sharing theology with you is not about examining someone's humility or niceness. That litmus test is not something that's going to give you wise results. The fruit we need to examine is what it is that they teach and whether it is biblical. That's why you need to know your Bible. We kind of pound this like a dead horse every single show. You need to know your Bible. You can have boring teachers, or bold in your face teachers who actually teach biblical truth. And you can have really nice, humble sounding teachers who teach outright blatant heresy. Now, over the years, both Michelle and I have both studied her teachings and activities and have compared them to Scripture. And because there are major discrepancies, neither of us can recommend her as someone your church should put forward as a sound ministry leader. We don't want you or your loved ones to be deceived. That's our motive in doing this. So we need to examine fruit and talk about how Beth Moore's teaching and behavior conflicts with Scripture. Michelle, there are just so many ways that Beth has violated Scripture in word and in deed that we need to present this information in two episodes. We don't want any heads to explode here.
That's right. That would not be good. So we are going to do it in two episodes. So we'll be covering the larger issues of her teachings and behavior, taking words out of context and verses out of context, teaching, focusing on her own personal experiences and emotionalism and legalism and all of that kind of thing. We'll cover those in episode two, but we're going to take on the big issues first in this episode. They're actually all big issues, but yeah, we're going to tackle a lot of, them in this first episode. So let's go ahead and jump right in. So probably the first and most obvious way that Beth violates Scripture, and I'm sure probably a lot of our listeners can already guess what I'm going to say, is that she preaches to men. So I think by now, most of our audience probably understands that that's unbiblical. But in case that's, maybe you're a new Christian or that's a new concept for you, we want to recommend that you take some time to read 1 Timothy 2:11 through 3:7, and also to listen to some of our previous episodes in which we discussed that, because that's a pretty important thing to understand. So Beth started out, like Amy said, in 1985, and she started out teaching a women's Bible or women's Sunday school class at her church. So the class grew and became more popular, and men started asking if they could attend. But instead of knowing that the Bible prohibits this and saying no, Beth asked her husband and her pastor what they thought. And I don't want to take away from that, because that's certainly a good thing for women to do, is to ask your husband and ask your pastor. But unfortunately, her husband and her pastor didn't know their Bibles any better than she did, and they told her it would be fine. So Beth has been violating Scripture by teaching the Bible to men since before she even had the type of ministry that she has today. In the ensuing 40 years, she has allowed men to come to her women's conferences, she has preached at pastors' conferences, and she has preached the Sunday morning service in various churches all along the way. And Beth doesn't, Beth admits this. She willingly and sometimes proudly even admits this. Just as one example, in 2019, she preached the Mother's Day Sunday sermon at her home church, Bayou City Fellowship of Tomball, Texas. And now, just so we all understand, the Bible doesn't say women are prohibited from preaching except on Mother's Day. It just says women are prohibited from preaching, and Mother's Day didn't even exist when the Bible was written. So anyway, when Beth announced this on Twitter a few days ahead of time, understandably, there was pushback from Bible-believing Christians trying to correct her according to Scripture. And Beth tried to defend herself, and here's what she tweeted on May the 9th, 2019. She says, and this was prior to her preaching, she says, "I need you to at least get the right ratio in your head here. I have brought a message from a pulpit in a Southern Baptist church service about 15 times in 40 years. If your track record of obedience tops that, more power to you. This is over me speaking at an SBC church on Mother's Day." And she has that all in caps, Mother's Day, like it makes a difference. So, if you read through that and you think about that, it's a bit confusing. She proudly defends her sin of preaching to men while simultaneously boasting of her track record of obedience by saying that it only happened 15 times. So is Beth saying that preaching to men is a sin and we should be grateful she only did it 15 times? And by the way, she hasn't only done it 15 times. She's preached in plenty of non-Southern Baptist churches too. She was only talking about Southern Baptist churches there. So if that is what she's saying, this is not how we handle sin. We do not boast like the Pharisee about how few times we've sinned and how obedient we are. We grieve over even one sin, and we repent, and we cry out with the publican, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and we stop doing that sin. Sin is still sin, whether you've done it once or 1,000 times. Also, if Beth is saying it's a sin, why is she defending the fact on Thursday, May the 9th, that she's still planning to preach on Sunday, May the 12th? Why isn't she instead confessing her plan to sin, humbly repenting, and announcing she will not preach on Sunday? So that's something to consider. And then if Beth is saying that preaching to men is not a sin, why is she defending herself as having, quote, only done it 15 times? Why didn't she do it far more than only 15 times over 40 years? Why not proudly enumerate all the times and places she has preached? Right. Why were these 15 preaching events not publicized as all of her other speaking events are if it was okay for her to preach? I mean, why didn't she list the Mother's Day event in question on her website along with all her other speaking engagements? Why didn't she talk it up on social media like she does with all her other speaking engagements? So it seems like Beth knows that preaching to men is a sin, but she's trying to defend the fact that she does so. So that's just one example of Beth preaching to men and her attempt to defend this sin. Beth preaching to men isn't a secret. It isn't speculation on our part. It's a well-established, long-standing fact. If you need to see evidence, we will, of course, have plenty of links in the show notes. Or you can just get on YouTube and start looking for videos of her preaching and conferences and things like that and see if there are men visible in the audience. It will not take you long to find. I promise you that.
No, it won't. And you know, Michelle, women preaching to men is a serious offense to God because it really is, like you said, a violation of his breathed out word. And it's spiritually unhealthy for the men and women who sit under the preaching of that woman too, because like you've said so many times, Michelle, and I agree, you've researched so many women teachers, and every single one of them who unrepentantly preaches to men also teaches other forms of false doctrine, like New Apostolic Reformation or Word of Faith heresies. You know, there aren't just any doctrinally sound women teachers out there who preach to men. You just can't find them because they're disobedient in the first place. Something else that Beth does that directly contradicts Scripture is that she partners with known false teachers. Now, this is also not speculation on our part, and it's a long-standing pattern. Not only does this go against Scripture's teaching to have nothing to do with wolves in sheep's clothing and to mark and avoid them, but it sends a very confusing message to her followers and puts a huge stumbling block in their path. Yeah, I'm not talking about guilt by association, as in she attended a conference with someone whose dad pastored a church where an elder's wife reads Jesus Calling. That would just be silly. I'm talking about guilt by affiliation or a downright partnership with well-established false teachers. And as she has developed this pattern over the years that she's been doing this, it's becoming more and more obvious that these false teachers are starting to, they have been having an influence in her thinking and her speaking. Now, if you look at Scripture and what Scripture says, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul warns, "For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths." And that is exactly what we see happening, and it started way back. In fact, some would say that, yeah, maybe Beth Moore used to be solid, but something might have happened that led her astray. Well, there's this great article by our friend Elizabeth Prada titled, "Has Beth Moore Only Recently Drifted, or Has She Always Been False?" Great title. And without spoiling the surprise, the answer is she's always been false. I'm sorry to say. We're going to link that up in the show notes. You know, false teachers don't drift into apostasy just as sheep don't become wolves. They were always false. That's how evolution works, right? You got to stay within your kind. They were always wolves and they always will be wolves. But on the other hand, sheep can grow in their understanding of truth and can become more evolved sheep. But, you know, evolution stops there. One kind does not evolve into another kind. That's just how it is. I think people first began noticing the red flags with the rise in social media, Michelle, you know, way back in December of 2013, that's 8 years ago now already. She tweeted that she was going to Lakewood Church in Texas. Now, that's the prosperity teacher Joel Osteen's church, if you are wondering what Lakewood is. And she went there to worship and hear Christine Kane guest preach. We'll put the screenshots of the tweets up in the links on our show notes over at awordfitlyspoken.life so that you can go and read them for yourself. But Christine Kane also preaches to men and hails from the leadership team of Word of Faith Prosperity Gospel Church Hillsong. So another wolf to avoid. And, you know, that's just not some random one and done tweet that we've plucked out of obscurity, but really an early red flag to what would be a slew of constant posts and tweets almost on a weekly basis these days. And that these are really alarming, to say the least. It's almost like almost every other day, Michelle, when we're seeing some crazy thing that she's been saying. Now, I am going to name a few more names here. And, you know, there are so many instances of Beth partnering with false teachers that I can only mention a few in this episode. But again, check the show notes. A lot of them will be there. But you only need to peruse Beth's Twitter feed to see how many other false teachers she puts up there for her fans to be positively influenced by. Matthew Vines, the guy behind the movement to make solid churches gay-affirming. Rachel Held Evans, the late Rachel Held Evans. Christine Kane, as we mentioned, Sarah Bessay, and Andy Stanley. Wow. You know, and there are more of them, too, including Jen Hatmaker and Jonathan Merritt. Again, these are well-known wolves that have no business influencing any sheep in any true church. So you can research those names if you like. Now, Beth Moore also speaks at heretical conferences, like all the time she was a keynote speaker at Hillsong's Color Conferences for Women in 2012, 2014, 2015, with known false teachers. Now, at the 2017 Hillsong Conference, which is co-ed, you know, she was preaching to men and all sorts of interesting things were happening there. You know, she even has her own website page at the Hillsong website. And she was also a featured speaker at the Be the Change conference with Christine Kane and Lisa Bevere in 2012. So she's been doing this for a long time. We shared our concerns about Joyce Meyer in another recent episode. And in 2014, Beth began an ongoing partnership with Joyce Meyer, regularly appearing on her television show and serving as one of two main speakers, the other, Christine Kane, at Joyce's 2016 Women's Conference. Now, in 2015, Beth launched her own show on TBN, the Total Baal Network. I'm sorry, but that's just true. And sometimes it's jokingly called the Total Blasphemy Network, also true, due to the fact that nearly all of their programs feature or are hosted by some of the worst false teachers, and most of these come out of the Word of Faith or the New Apostolic Reformation variety. Now, Beth continues to partner with other TBN show hosts, and they've become her personal friends. Lori and Matt Crouch, the daughter-in-law of the late Word of Faith preachers Paul and Jan Crouch, Victoria and Joel Osteen, and of course, the lead head pastor of Hillsong, Brian Houston. Scripture is quite clear that we're supposed to have nothing to do with these false teachers, especially when it comes to ministry. You know, 2 Peter chapter 2 says, "There were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you." they will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who brought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their depraved conduct and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with fabricated stories. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping.
Amen. That is so right, Amy. There's just no denying what God has to say about partnering with false teachers. It is crystal clear. And if you deny it, if you deny that teaching, you're denying what's in Scripture, what God has made clear to us. Well, another way that Beth deviates from Scripture is something that almost all false teachers do these days. So be sure to watch for this. Like we said, in any teacher you follow, Beth claims to receive direct, personal, extra-biblical revelation from God. In other words, God told me this, or God spoke to me in a dream and said that, or you need to learn how to hear the voice of God outside of Scripture, of course. Again, I think most of our listeners probably understand that this is unbiblical. God speaks to us today through His written word. But like I mentioned before, if this is a new concept for you, we'll have plenty of links in the show notes that you can take a look at so you can learn. So just a few examples of Beth claiming that God speaks to her. Here's a quote from her book, The Beloved Disciple. She says, "Beloved, I am convinced one of our severest needs is pure rest, not only sleep, but refreshment and recreation. Recently, God spoke to me about capturing what He and I are calling Sabbath moments. Like many of yours, my schedule right now is particularly tough, and I see no time in the near future for a number of days off. God spoke to my heart one Saturday morning while I was preparing for Sunday school," and this next part is in quotes, so this is what God supposedly said to her verbatim. "My child, in between more intense rests, I want to teach you to take Sabbath moments." I wasn't certain what He meant. Just that morning, God confirmed His desire for me to drive all the way to the other side of Houston to the medical center to visit a patient with brain cancer. Okay, so that's the quote.
Right.
So a couple of things. Aside from the fact that it's unbiblical in and of itself for Beth to claim that God is talking to her, God is not inventing new teachings besides the ones He has already given us in Scripture. The canon is closed. Scripture is, you know, we're not adding to Scripture anymore. God's not adding to Scripture anymore. Passages like 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17, 2 Peter 1:3, really the whole, you know, the overwhelming arc of the Bible explains that Scripture is sufficient to teach us everything we need pertaining to life and godliness. And this Sabbath moments thing is found nowhere in Scripture. Another thing, Beth says, "I wasn't certain what He meant." When you have a few hours, go grab your Bible and look up every single yeah. passage about God actually speaking to somebody. Did any of them, Adam, Noah, Elijah, Ezekiel, Isaiah, Hosea, Peter, Paul, and Mary, I mean, did anybody ever say, "I wasn't certain what He meant"? Absolutely not. When God speaks, He is absolutely, perfectly clear about what He means. Here's another quote. This one, we're going to play you a little video clip. It's from the video that accompanies Beth's book, Believing God.
"Listen carefully. What God began to say to me about 5 years ago, and I'm telling you, it sent me on such a trek with Him that my head is still whirling over it. He began to say to me, I'm going to tell you something right now, Beth. And boy, you write this one down and you say it as often as I give you utterance to say it. My bride is paralyzed by unbelief. My bride is paralyzed by unbelief." And He said, "Starting with you."
Wow, Michelle, every time I hear that clip, and I've heard it and watched it many times, but it just gets more and more grievous to me.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, wow, like you said, again, in addition to the fact like that God doesn't give direct revelation this way, when God gives direct revelation to someone and says, "Write this down," that's Scripture, because that's right. What happened every other time He spoke to someone and said, "Write this down." It became Scripture. And we know that Beth Moore is not, praise God, one of the authors of Scripture. So I've given you a couple of examples, but this is something else you can research for yourself. Pick up a few Beth Moore books or watch some of her videos, watch some videos of her teaching and count how many times she says, God told me, or I think, or I believe, or bases her teaching on a personal experience or story rather than teaching what God's word clearly says.
Yeah, and if you're picking up a few Beth Moore books out of your own stash and you're thinking, I've got to get rid of these, don't put them in a garage sale or send them off to, you know, the salvage yard for other people to pick up, because you want to make sure those don't get into anybody else's hands. Okay, soapbox over. But you know, but we really do need to remember that no matter which pastor or teacher we're listening to, if somebody says God told me, no, they didn't. You know, if God told you something, it had better have a verse behind it. That's just the way it is. You know, Bible teachers are to rightly handle and teach God's written word, not what they think God is saying to them or their own personal feelings or experiences. And speaking of that, I do need to add another concern about Beth Moore. A few years ago, she engaged in something called automatic writing, which is really a New Age mystical practice. Automatic writing is really a psychic ability allowing a person to produce written words that they themselves didn't write, but some other force did. But, you know, and we know that the Holy Spirit used men to write the scriptures. Well, we can't claim that today. So she wrote a book called When Godly People Do Ungodly Things. And she wrote in her preface to the book, unbeknownst to me, he's been writing each chapter on my heart for several years. When the message for this book was complete, and it was in his estimation, not mine, God compelled me to ink it on paper with a force of the Holy Spirit unparalleled in my experience. He whisked me to the mountains of Wyoming, where I entered solitary confinement with him, and in only a few short weeks, I wrote the last line. So she is saying that the Holy Spirit wrote this book for her. And really, if she is right that it was the Holy Spirit, which we know it wasn't, then what he wrote is scripture. We probably need to staple that to the back of our Bibles, because, you know, this is something inspired by the God himself, God Almighty. So I think that she really needs to walk that back. And unfortunately, she never did. She believes that, you know, you can get sparkly pens and just write things down, whatever you think God is saying through you. Well, that's not true. That's New Ageism. And that is mysticism. So I just wanted to put that in there. But you know, if you're looking for a way to tell a sound, godly teacher, her willingness to accept biblical correction is a good clue for that. But unfortunately, Beth Moore refuses correction. Not only that, but she makes sure that anyone who questions her is literally the enemy of God. You know, listen to this clip from 2014 of Beth preaching from the Life Today YouTube channel of Word of Faith preacher James Robison. And of course, if you watch the video of this, you're going to see that she's once again preaching to men. Now, this clip was taken from a charismatic conference called Awaken Now, where Beth asks the question that is seemingly the one condition for receiving an outpouring from God. Her sermon is titled, Are You Thirsty? So let's take a listen.
As we cry out for downpour, and I'm going to tell you something, I believe it's coming. You know why? Because I believe the truth is we are thirsty. And if the only thing we have to do, James, as much as I understand, the only thing we have to do is just go, I am thirsty. I'm poor and needy, Lord. And I'm just crying out. I'm just crying out. He says, if you do that, I'll pour it out on thirsty land. But on the land that says, I mean, we're just like plenty wet here. You'd scare us half to death. We don't want anything new. Just as long as you do what you've done before, we're good with it. But you know how we are here. Amen. I'm just tired of saying it to him. I'm going with him. And you know what? I don't even know where we're going. I just, very recently, I wrote a post just going, I'm sick to death of telling him where I want it to go. I'm just going where God is going. is going. I'm going where God is going. Well, the next morning I was putting on my mascara at my mirror and I set the mascara wand down on the counter and I just turned around and I said, where are we going? Because I want to go where you're going, but if you could tell me where we're going. Because I don't know about you, but you know, faith is such a blast to me. I love the adventure of it, but I always love it best in retrospect. Looking back, I go, now that was an exciting time of my life. I love that. While there, you're just kind of going, because suddenly it's not concrete. It's just like water under your feet. Water, water. So you don't know where you're going. We just want to go with you, Lord. I believe that God placed it on my heart to tell you that it, as it comes, and it will, if we'll own our thirst, it will. If we'll be willing to stop telling what it has to look like, it's coming, it's coming. But we must be prepared in advance for scoffers. I will say that again. We must be prepared in advance for scoffers. I want you to look at one another and say, be prepared for scoffers. And here's the thing. The unbelieving world scoffing is not going to bother us that much. We are used to them thinking that we are idiots. Can we just own that one? I mean, we're used to that. Of course they think that. We've got that one down. That's not what's going to bother us so much. What's going to bother us, and I believe that God is saying, get prepared for it so you know in advance it's coming, so when it does happen, you are not all disturbed and all rocked by it, but it's going to come from some in our own Christian realm, our own brothers and sisters. We're going to have people that are honestly going to want to debate and argue with us about awakening and downpours. I was like, well, what do you want here? They're going to say, that's not the way it should look. You know what, dude? I'm just asking you, are you thirsty?
Welp, Michelle, she definitely has the stand-up comedy and timing down. You know, the audience is there in the palm of her hands. She really is a masterful speaker. But that shouldn't be our takeaway if you're a discerning person. You should also be tuned into a few other things that should really have your red flags waving, like how she preemptively strikes out at scoffers. And what she calls scoffers is anyone who sees and hears something that she says or teaches that violates scripture. Did you notice that she even asks her audience to turn to one another and verbally affirm this, which is a really nice little psychological tactic? But because the next thing they're going to hear is not really biblical teaching at all, so she's already prepared them not to question what she says. And also, Michelle, did you notice that she does not quote or read a single passage of scripture to back up what she is saying? I mean, notice how many times she says, I believe.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I did notice that. I think if we're paying attention whenever we're listening to Beth Moore, a lot of times we'll notice that she just gives her own opinions or her own, you know, stories from her own life. And that's what she bases her teaching on. But instead of taking a step back and honestly evaluating where she's wrong on the biblical issues she's been called to account for, Beth Moore frequently doubles down instead of repenting or, you know, giving some thought to what people are trying to help her with, you know, to get biblically corrected. And that's what she did in this 2015 blog article called It's Hunting Season for Heretics. In the article, she strikes out against people calling her a heretic or a false teacher for, quote, disagreement or, quote, getting something wrong. So I commented on that article, and here's what I said. I said, Beth, you're absolutely right. A simple difference of opinion between two people doesn't make someone a false teacher. And making a mistake or getting something wrong doesn't make someone a false teacher either, if when she's shown from scripture that she's wrong, she repents and stops doing or teaching whatever she was wrong about. But that's not what's going on here. You, Beth, have been shown numerous times by numerous people that you mishandle and disobey God's word. For example, you preach to men in direct violation of 1 Timothy 2:12. You have unequally yoked yourself with false teachers in the prosperity gospel movement, such as Christine Kane, Joyce Meyer, and others, also in violation of scripture. You twist and misapply God's word and all things like this. And yet you persist in doing so, and you continue to justify yourself and cast aspersions on brothers and sisters in Christ who call you to repent and conform to God's word. That is what makes you a false teacher, not a simple mistake or disagreement. You are not being called a false teacher because of man's opinion, but because you rebel against God's word and lead others to do the same. Please repent, obey God's word, and teach sound doctrine. That is what the women who listen to you need. Unfortunately, instead of taking my and the dozens of others who commented correction to heart, Beth once again doubled down by writing an addendum to her article to address all of our comments. And in essence, she said, "I'm still right and you're still wrong." Yeah. So she really did not take that to heart at all. And one final example of Beth's refusal to accept correction. A couple of years ago, Amy and I and a few other women Bible teachers and bloggers were asked to publicize an open letter to Beth Moore. Some of you will remember this. And it was written by someone who wishes to remain anonymous, asking her to clarify her position on homosexuality. And we'll get more into that on our part two episode on this. So we just asked her, or the letter just asked her to clarify her position on homosexuality. It didn't even correct her. It just asked her to clarify her position. She got on social media and on her blog and called us Bible beaters void of the Holy Spirit, hunters, trappers, slanderers, hypocrites, hyper-fundamentalists. She accused us of publicly barbecuing fellow Christians. She said we do not have the love of God in our hearts. She blocked Elizabeth Prada on Twitter. She blocked me on Twitter. And she dragged her feet for 2.5 weeks before finally offering a biblically tepid answer. And again, no one was correcting her. This was all in response to being asked a question she didn't like. Can you imagine her response to being corrected?
Yeah.
Amy, you know, any final thoughts on this before we close things out? It's a lot, you know?
Yeah, she hasn't figured out which one I am on Twitter. I kind of like to play around with my name, but yeah, she hasn't blocked me yet, so I still see a lot of her stuff popping up, and it's none of it's good. And I wish that we could say that that she was repenting at this time. Maybe she will. I don't know. But, you know, my final thoughts are that we really need to be in prayer, not only for her, but for the people she teaches. This has just been on my mind. There are millions of people, women around the world who love her, who fiercely defend her. And they, many of them, well, all of them who are following her and defending her false teachings are deceived. And so we need to be praying for them, that God in his mercy would open eyes and soften hearts to Scripture. So, you know, and this was a lot of material, but we're not quite done yet. So part two is on the way soon, and we're going to be covering her, like we said, her softening and compromising on homosexuality, because there's a lot more to say about that that's really alarming in these past few years. Her confusing language, and one that is a little more recent, her deep dive into wokeism and critical race theory, and of course, all the things that come with it, like feminism. But you know, Michelle, all told, it is a very progressive trajectory that is leading many off the narrow path of orthodoxy and scriptural fidelity. So stay tuned. And ladies, be sure to subscribe to A Word Fitly Spoken on your favorite podcast feed so that you can share these resources with others who, you know, might be caught up in these deceptive teachings that sound almost right, but are dreadfully false. So do check out the show notes for this episode. There are a lot of them, and all our other resources at awordfitlyspoken.life.
That's right. And until next time, be discerning, don't follow false teachers, and walk worthy.